Good evening. One more time, Merry Christmas. Let's say it together. We're here today to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we have those sayings like Merry Christmas that show joyful and a happy season that it's intended to be, right? And then we have songs. How many of you have listened on the radio to where it's been all Christmas all the time? Anyone listen to those stations? In fact, I think that 102.1 started it the week of Thanksgiving, and that's basically been the family preset for the last 4 weeks. And so I love Christmas music. I love Christmas season, but I just might be done with Christmas music after tomorrow. But we have these songs, and they're remind us that Christmas is supposed to be happy. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's a holly jolly Christmas. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds festive, right? And so these tell us and they show us it's supposed to be fun, like walking through a winter wonderland and jingle bells, and it communicates this joyous and this trouble-free season of the year. But I want to ask today, is that what you're really experiencing this season? Trouble-free, totally full of joy? Probably not. For some, the problems of the year have just kept adding up and adding up and adding up, and they keep you from experiencing the joy from the season. Others, maybe you feel like that there's a crisis that have happened and you're in the moment of crisis, and in this moment of crisis, it is preventing there from truly being joy to the world. And some of us, we're working so hard and working so much and putting in so many hours and we're putting in so much time that we don't have time to roast chestnuts over an open fire, though we don't even know what that is really. Or we don't have open fires. We have fireplaces, and that would cause trouble if we roasted chestnuts over them. Or maybe there's not anything really wrong at all. It's just that for some reason, you're not enjoying the Christmas season. It's not providing that emotional lift for us that we expected it to. And in fact, it might be a little depressing as we're experiencing the Christmas season together. And the world doesn't look like a winter wonderland to you. It just looks gray and wet. So how do we increase our joy? Because the truth is disillusionment in the Christmas season is unfortunately not an unusual thing. Crisis hotlines get the vast majority of their calls the busiest in the Christmas season. In fact, just tonight, we had to help a gentleman a couple hours before service who came in, who was suicidal, needing help, and we had to help him just this evening. So disillusionment in the holiday season is not that unusual. We get hyped up with what the expectations are of the season will be and what Christmas is supposed to be. And when they don't measure up, we experience disappointment. So what can we do to avoid the disappointment, the discouragement, the depression, or the disillusionment that Christmas brings towards us? How can we improve our level of joy in the holidays? I think the answer is something that we can find in Matthew chapter 2, and it's the story of the wise men or the magi. It's the story of these wise men who went to pursue Christ, and I've asked Todd to read this verse for us. So Todd, will you read this for us today?
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son."
So these magi, or the wise men, were men from the east that came, and they came to find the newborn baby. They came to find the new king of Israel. And they are wanting to honor him with gifts. And so as they come, they want to bring gifts to celebrate the birth of this child. So who were these wise men? Who were these magi? We don't totally know. In fact, we don't even know from Scripture, it indicates how many there were. We say three because there were gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And some of the tradition that was passed down says that it was three different rulers from three different areas and they came to celebrate. But there are a couple of ideas. One is that it was descendants of Moses, and that through Moses that there were they were from Pakistan and Iraq and Iran, where that would be today, and they came, and so they would have been Middle Eastern men and Jewish men that came to worship the Christ, and they probably brought this huge entourage with them. Others say, and this was maybe more reliable, that they came from Yemen, which is right on the tip of northern Africa, heading right before northern Africa, and that in that era, these kings would have been Jews, and they're looking for this new king, the Savior, the Messiah. And they were magi, which means they studied the skies, they studied the stars, and so they knew of all the seasons of what would happen, when to plant, when to harvest, when drought was coming, when flood was coming, but they knew that they could tell by studying the stars. And so they see this new star, and they knew that this would be the Messiah, and they're drawn to come and worship him. And so the truth is that the attitudes of these wise men, the attitudes of these men, and the events that surrounded their journey, that we can see how to raise our joy in this season. And if you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down. We can raise or lower our joy based on this, on what we seek. Our level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what we seek. In fact, I want to ask you today, what is it that I want to get out of Christmas? And if I were to ask you today, what is it that you want to get out of Christmas? So what would it be? What would it take to make Christmas wonderful and satisfying? Because we always want to walk away and feel like Christmas was like, ah, that was so good. So what would make Christmas wonderful and satisfying for us today? Would it be that we get snow and we have a white Christmas? I love snow. Would it be that all the family is together and that they're all celebrating together? Would it be that we've got that feeling that we would define as the holiday spirit? Maybe it's that we find the right present to give to someone. Or maybe better yet, that we get that perfect gift that we've been waiting for all year, but we didn't want to spend our money on, but maybe they'll spend their money on it, and we get that perfect gift. The problem is that all of these things can leave us disappointed. Have you ever had that experience at Christmas that your expectations were so high, and you were greatly disappointed? And we're disappointed not because of Christmas, not because Christmas didn't deliver what we thought it would. The problem was not Christmas. The problem was our expectations. We were looking for the wrong thing. And so the wise men, they show us how to increase our joy level at Christmas by looking for the right thing. But what was it they were looking for? If you're reading along in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Where is the one who's born King of the Jews? We saw a star and we have come to worship him." They were looking for Jesus. And for those guys in that moment, in that very season, for them, a successful Christmas, though they didn't even know what the holiday was, a successful Christmas was the opportunity to worship Christ. And that is what we need to be looking for, and that is what we need to be expecting this Christmas, a fresh encounter with Jesus, a fresh look at who he is, and who is this child born King of the Jews, that if that is our expectation for Christmas, it will never disappoint us. If our goal is to worship Jesus, then I seriously doubt we'll be disappointed with the experience. How? How can we look for Jesus this season? First of all, maybe tomorrow before you give out the gifts that we read the Christmas story as a family. Maybe that we pray together as a family. Maybe before you give gifts that we take just a moment and we give thanks, not just for the gifts we're about to get, but for the gift of Jesus that was given for you and I over 2,000 years ago, that we celebrate the true reason for the season. And the truth is, if we want to say happy holidays, that's great, but we can't take Christ out of Christmas. That's literally the reason we celebrate. We've changed it, but that's literally the origins of the holiday. So number one, that our joy level is directly related to what we seek. Second of all, how do we increase our joy? It all depends on where we look. And in the same way, our level of joy at Christmas is directly based and related to where we look. And if we learn from the Magi, we learn from this story that they looked in both the wrong place and in the right place. Now, first of all, they went to the wrong place. That they see the star and they went to where they thought human reasoning would be the birth of a king. So they know a king is coming, and what do? They go to the palace of King Herod in the capital city of Israel, and they go to Jerusalem and say, "Hey, there's a new king coming." And what do you think the current king did? He didn't like it at all. And out of jealousy, he says, "Hey, where can I go so that I can worship him?" Ultimately, we learn later that he went to assassinate the children and assassinate this new baby. So they are there and they are looking for him. And again, it says he was born in Bethlehem of Judea and during the time of Herod, and they came from the east to Jerusalem. So they went, of course, a king's going to be born in the palace. But what they find, it was a mistake, what they find is they look to Scripture. You see, you and I, we're tempted to look for joy in Christmas in the wrong places. We're tempted to look for joy in so many different avenues. In the holiday bonus, how many of you like a holiday bonus? Amen? But is our Christmas ruined when it doesn't come through? Or how many of you in here, you love getting gifts? Come on, raise them high if you love getting gifts. But what if that gift that we wanted, it doesn't come through just right? Does it ruin our holiday? We're tempted to look for our joy in the wrong places. But the trip to Jerusalem wasn't a total loss. While they're there, they learn the right place to look. But for us, we're tempted to look in the wrong places and we'll say, "Hey, I will be grateful when I'm glad." That when I am glad, at that moment, I'll be grateful. When I get the gift that I want, I'm glad. And when I'm glad, I'm grateful. I'm saying be grateful before you're glad. And so we're saying when I get that gift, I'm going to be glad. When I get the holiday bonus, I'm going to be glad. When all the family is together and not arguing. I heard a few amens right there. When all the family is there and not arguing, then I'll be glad. And when I'm glad, I'm grateful. But I want to tell you, gladness doesn't produce gratefulness. If you're taking notes today, gratefulness produces gladness. And so part of our holidays, it cannot be based on the things that can come and go. But instead, before tomorrow, we come out and say, "Lord, before we take our gifts, we want to say thank you for who you are. We're grateful for this holiday. We're grateful for what we already have." And out of gratefulness comes gladness. Does that make sense? gratefulness is a choice that then determines how we feel and our emotions. And so we're saying, I will be grateful, then I'm glad. Gladness doesn't lead to gratitude. Gratitude leads to gratefulness, and gratitude leads to gladness. But the Magi, not only do they look in the wrong place first, like we are tempted to do sometimes, then they learn to look in the right place. Because while they're in Jerusalem, they discovered that they needed to look at scriptures. And as they looked back, the wise men of that of Herod's area said, hey, the king will be born in Bethlehem. In Psalms 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That for us, that is always a good place to look for joy and for contentment and for direction and for hope and for fulfillment, that is always a good place to look. So the Magi got the new information that he'd be born in Bethlehem. They followed the star all the way until they stood by the manger that the new baby was born in. And in that moment, they worshiped. So our joy over the holiday season will be directly tied to what we seek and where we look. But also the third way that determines our joy of the holiday season is this, is what do we give? What do we give? The Magi came to Jesus' house bearing gifts. In fact, it says in verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened up their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now listen, nothing in the Bible is accidental. It's there on purpose. It's there strategically placed for us to learn from. And so why would they bring him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh? That those were absolutely appropriate gifts to give this young king. Because as they gave the gift of gold, that was gift symbolic of giving that you would give to a king. So when they are giving this gifts of gold to Jesus, they're saying, you are the king, the Messiah, the one that we have been longing for. They're acknowledging that Jesus was the king. Then when they gave him frankincense, that this was a gift for a priest. It's what they used in the temple during some of the ceremonies and the rituals that they did in the Old Testament times. And so they're acknowledging that he was the priest, that he was the one that brought us to God and opened the door to God for us. And then they brought him the gift of myrrh. Now myrrh, that seems like an odd gift to me because that was the gift you gave to someone who was dead or who was dying. Until you realize that they were giving that, this fragrant ointment that they would use to wrap the body in, to anoint the body before burial, and they were acknowledging that Jesus had come to die for their sins. So what's the point? Is that they gave appropriate gifts, and at this season of our year, that we have to give appropriate gifts as well. And I'm not just talking about gifts, material gifts, so those are fun, and those are great. They have symbolic that the wise men brought gifts, and so in the same way, we're doing that to remind ourselves as we give gifts to others. But I'm not talking just material gifts. So what gifts do we bring? And maybe you need to write some of these things down as God would maybe stir your heart. That over this holiday season that we need to give the gift of love and kindness to our friends and family. How many of you have ever been sharp or sharp-tongued or short-tempered with someone who you love very, very much? And that maybe over the holidays that we give love and kindness to those that we love the most. Maybe that we give the gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt us. And that there has been a divide in family or a divide in friendships or a divide in neighbors and that they have hurt us and that we forgive them and no longer hold it against them. And I'm not talking about you forgive them until you get upset with them again and you pull out the trump card. I'm saying that maybe this holiday season that we give the gift of forgiveness to someone who's hurt us. Or what about this? Maybe, just maybe, the appropriate gift for us to bring this holiday season is that we bring the gift of repentance or asking forgiveness or apologizing to someone that we have wronged. And that we go to them and say, hey, look, I did this and I am sorry. It's been a long time, but I offended you and I apologize. You see, as we give these type of gifts, kindness and joy and our time and forgiveness and repentance, that as we give those types of gifts, that affects our joy level for the season. That directly affects our level of joy. And as we give those type of gifts, the results are meaningful and significant for our lives. But we ought to bring good gifts to Christ as well. Like the gift of worship. That we give the gift of gratitude. We give the gift of thanksgiving and the gift of adoration this holiday season. And we're saying, Lord, you gave your son for us. And we want to thank you that today we get to celebrate that together as a family and as friends. And we have this day that we rejoice in what you have done for us. That maybe this holiday season, part of our gifts that we bring and that we're giving is gifts of adoration and thanksgiving to God. Because it's in these moments, moments like Christmas, to where it is less about us and more about God. It's less about us and it's more about the blessings that he has brought into our life, and we celebrate his goodness in this season together as a family. Because I want to tell you this, because there are moments when we are honoring him and we are thanking him and we are blessing him and we are praising him and we're taking a moment out to remember him and doing those things, there is blessing for us in our lives. What are we looking to? What are we seeking? And what are we giving? And if we're doing it in the right way, seeking the right thing, looking at the right thing, giving the right thing, that there is going to be an increased joy level, because it's not about the stuff, it's about the reason we celebrate the season of Christmas. And so I want to close out with this tonight. What are you giving for Christmas this year? Why not consider giving yourself? Give your time to your family. Give your compassion to your friends and your community. Give your forgiveness to someone who's isolated from you. Give your repentance, asking forgiveness to those that you've harmed. And give your heart to Jesus. Ask him to be the Lord and the Savior of your life, the forgiver of your sins, the Redeemer of our hearts. Give your worship to Jesus. And I promise you this, when you look for the right thing, when you look in the right places, when you give the right gift, there will be incredible joy in the Christmas season.